This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's Thursday, October 11th, 2018. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got partly sunny skies, but windy and chilly today with a high temperature in the mid-40s. It's 46 degrees right now at O'Hare, 47 at the lakefront.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. The Dow did its best impression of the groundhog. It poked its head above ground and then went right back inside. Let's get the latest on the markets from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, I guess that means another 6 weeks of selling. It definitely did look like that, and I was all prepared to tell you about how markets were making a comeback. But here come the losses once again. Right now, the Dow is down 202 points, or almost 1%, and we're down to 25,394. The NASDAQ is lower by 13 points, or 0.2%. Within the hour, the NASDAQ was higher by about 60 points. So that tells you the kind of volatility that's built back in here. S&P down 24 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index was up 0.2%, now down 0.5%. The core consumer price index rose 2.2% in September compared to a year earlier, and it was unchanged from August and less than expected. The figures show there's little danger at this point that inflation will move far above the Fed's 2% target. So that was some thought that there would be no quickening of rate hikes. And so the thought was that was good for stocks, but now we're starting to see the selling come back. Techs had been a bright spot, software makers in particular gaining. After posting quarterly results, stock in Walgreens Boots Alliance is still up. The drugstore chain plans to open at least 600 medical testing locations in its stores. They'll be run by LabCorp. Walgreens up almost 1%. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, what are the markets telling us right now? How much will Hurricane Michael affect the economy? And we will tell you some of the fastest growing jobs.
And the fastest growing markets for the self-driving car retirement communities. All that and more coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The cost of Hurricane Michael, we're talking about that in our next segment. Right now, inflation and unemployment claims are topping today's data. Joining us for a look at the economy, Joel Naroff, president of Naroff Economic Advisors in Holland, Pennsylvania. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Joel. It does seem that we are having a bit of a correction on Wall Street right now, and there's an argument outside of that about the economy. What are you seeing?
Well, I don't think there's any question that the economy is in good shape. The real question is, where do we go from here? And more importantly, are interest rates and the sharp rise in interest rates going to kill this expansion? And my feeling is that if you look at the current level of interest rates, which are the highest they've been in years, they're still relatively moderate compared to historical levels. So I'm not surprised we've had a correction, but I don't necessarily ascribe it to either a faltering economy or interest rates that are really too high.
The president is attacking the Federal Reserve chair, criticizing Jay Powell as being too stringent with monetary policy. Do you think he is?
Not at all. I don't know a president who's ever been in office during a rising rate environment who hasn't been upset with the Fed for raising rates. You know, every president wants rates as low as possible so the economy can grow as fast as possible. But think about it. The members of his administration, the economists in his administration, were talking about 10 years of 3% growth, which would be stronger than we've seen in really decades. And now he's complaining that there was a 1 percentage point rise in interest rates, and that's going to kill the economy. I don't think the economy is so fragile and the expansion is so fragile that the Fed has done anything that's out of the ordinary. Indeed, I think they still have a fair amount to do in order to get things back to more normal levels.
The jitters that investors have shown yesterday and a little bit today, is that a sign that they think there is a trouble brewing, or is there something else going on in the stock market?
Well, you know, there's a change in psychology in the stock market all the time. And sometimes when the psychology changes, the herd mentality says, okay, well, this is the end. And we've had a number of sharp corrections during this 10-year expansion is, or 10-year bull market. So I don't think we should be shocked by it, but I think what's different this time, and I hate to say this time it is different, is that we're now in a rising interest rate environment. And that's something that previous equity markets haven't had to face. They've had relatively stable interest rates at extraordinarily low levels, and now they have a Fed and longer-term market participants who are looking at rates not just rising now, but probably all through next year. So I think there's something more fundamental, and I think there's also a recognition that most economists have said that we're not going to have a consistent period of 3% growth, that we're going to go back to the 2.25%, and if we're lucky, 2.5% growth. And that raises questions about earnings and whether the levels that we're looking at are sustainable or the growth levels are sustainable.
Very quickly, Joel, some analysts have said that we are in the sugar high from the tax cut bill that was signed at the end of last year. If we are in that sugar high, you know, at what point are we in the sugar high cycle, basically, before we start to come down from it?
Well, first of all, that's one of my favorite sayings, that the tax cuts created a sugar high. I think what we have is, And I'm in consistent views of most other economists, we probably have at least through the middle of next year where, you know, growth is going to be solid. It's doubtful it's going to be anywhere near 4%. It'll probably go down to 3% and then slowly trail down towards 2 to 2.5%. But that's decent to solid growth and something we shouldn't be worried about. You know, the real question is, you know, as the sugar high wears off over the roughly next year, what happens next fall when we're really living on the basic economy? I think that's the question. So we have 6 to 12 months at least of the sugar high wearing off, but it's probably going to wear off sometime during the second half of next year.
Well, thank you very much, Joel Naroff, president of Naroff Economic Advisors in Holland, Pennsylvania. Coming up next, the big picture cost of Hurricane Michael.
Because money matters, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The cost of Hurricane Michael, we'll talk about that right now on WBBM, as the impact of Hurricane Michael on the insurance industry specifically. Let's talk about that with Kathy Seifert, the insurance equity analyst with CFRA Research in New York. Kathy, welcome back to the program. Once again, we're talking about a storm that has inflicted hundreds of millions, possibly billions of dollars worth of damage on the Florida Panhandle. How long is it going to take for that particular region to get back on its feet?
Well, hi, Rob. It's good to be with you again. So Hurricane Michael, I think when all is said and done, insured losses, my estimate are they'll probably be around $6 to $8 billion. What you typically see in the aftermath of a hurricane is economic activity in a region declines, and then the rebuilding increases the economic activity in a region. My sense is that area will certainly rebuild. And one of the factors I think to consider is that in Michael, unlike Florence, the hurricane presented wind first. I mean, we all saw the news reports. It was a Category 4 storm with, you know, pretty significant winds. That the nature of that storm means that insurers are probably going to be paying more of the total cost, because losses that develop from, you know, if a storm blows the roof off of your house, and then rain comes in, you're covered. If you have a flood or a storm surge and water comes from the bottom up, you're typically not covered unless you have flood insurance.
Is there any way at this point to tell how badly people are going to be suffering financially?
Well, it's tough to say. You know, this is a region that is not very densely populated. It's also not one of the more affluent regions within Florida. I mean, obviously, there are pockets of affluence. And so the concern when you have something like this is that you have underinsured homes. And that's always the risk. My sense is that this area, I mean, we can compare and contrast other areas, but this area will ultimately get back on its feet. But as I said, you know, I think from a macro perspective, from a public policy perspective, there's a concern about whether or not there's not adequate insurance to cover homeowners, because the majority of these losses are going to be suffered by homeowners. There are businesses there, you know, but it's not like it hit Miami or one of the major metropolitan areas.
Kathy, thanks for joining us today. Kathy Sievert is insurance equity analyst at CFRA Research in New York. Still ahead, what's moving the markets? Technology Thursday, self-driving cars, and how we'll live in retirement.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Now WBBM Business from Bloomberg, and here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we are once again mixed, with the Dow lower by 129 points, or 0.5%. The benchmark at 25,473. The NASDAQ up 11 points to 7,433. And the S&P down 16. That's a loss of 0.5%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down 0.33%. Walmart is going Hollywood. The world's largest retailer has formed a joint venture with a startup called Echo to develop original interactive programming, including cooking shows and toy catalogs. It'll also acquire an undisclosed stake in the company. Walmart is already one of the world's biggest sellers of movies and TV shows. We've got crude oil futures in retreat today, down more than 2.5% to $71.27 a barrel. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
The USDA report at 11 came out with lower yields than expected on corn and beans, lower carryout as a result. Corn has been up 10. We're still up 6.75 in December at 369.5. Beans were up 12 at one time. November beans are still up 5.5 at 857.75. And wheat was higher than expected, pushing wheat prices 1.25 lower for December at 509.25. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are mixed. We'll check in on what's moving Wall Street.
How self-driving cars could hit the road in retirement communities.
A look at the 7 fastest-growing, high-paying jobs.
An increasing number of people not showing up for court in DuPage County.
And the Florida Panhandle picks up the pieces after Hurricane Michael.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 139 points, the NASDAQ up 23, and the S&P 500 down 13.
Windy and chilly this afternoon with times of clouds and sunshine, a high today of 50. It's 46 degrees in Chicago under partly sunny skies as the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
The stocks have been pretty wild in the last couple of days. Right now, the NASDAQ is doing all right. Dow Industrials down 139. Joining us with the latest on what is moving Wall Street, Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer with Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Jack, nice to have you back on the program again. What do you think is irritating these markets?
Well, I think the big picture certainly is this tectonic shift between equities and bonds. The fact is, over the last 10 years, thanks to overly aggressive central bank policies, interest rates were held very low for a long time, encouraging investors to take on risk. And guess what? It worked. Now we've got a great economy back on both feet, And I think central banks, the Fed and other central banks, are trying to take us, take the IV bag off and move us back to normal. And that's creating some upset in the equity market.
Have you been concerned about inflation?
You know, it's certainly something that I am concerned about big picture. I think this morning's number, I should say, was calm. It probably assuaged investors' concerns today. But, you know, when we have a more of a nationalist policy here and abroad, you're imposing tariffs, which are like taxes on products. And we have a tight labor market with wages now growing at nearly 3% year over year. You know, I do think, and of course add a very aggressive interest rates, I do think we will see some inflation. At least the trend is higher. One of the things we could really rely on over the last 35 years was, you know, globalization that helped keep prices at bay. And if we are reversing that pendulum, then I would expect we could see some a tailwind that could push prices higher in the future.
When it comes to this current bout of economic nationalism, which is occurring here and also in Europe and in some Latin American countries, did we turn back the clock to 1977, or are we, shooting back to the 20s?
You know, it's a great question. I'm not sure we're shooting back to the 20s. I think the good news there is we have learned our lesson of massive tariffs from the 20s and the havoc they caused. But it's possible we could see replays of the 70s where we have prices rising, interest rates going up, and we're not seeing a lot of productivity. The good news, though, is this tax bill that was ushered out earlier this year does create incentives for companies to, bring dollars back here and invest. And while government can't snap their fingers and, make productivity go up, they can create an environment in which productivity can flourish, and that is high quality labor plus relative low cost of capital and not much red tape. And I do think we're situated for higher productivity, but that's, unfortunately, productivity is virtually impossible to predict.
When I've asked this question of other noon business hour guests, whenever the stock market has hit a period of turbulence, how far out from that event could you say safely that either it was just a blip in the recovery, or it's a sign of trouble ahead?
Yeah, I think it's a sign of a resetting of prices between stocks and bonds. So, Rob, I wish I could tell you that was it and the worst is behind us and now we can get back in and, the water's great again. Unfortunately, this is really part of a process. President Trump certainly expressed his frustration with this Federal Reserve, but notwithstanding all of that rhetoric, interest rates are still too low, both in the overnight area, which is 2.5%. There are formulas that argue that they should be 5% based on current conditions, and the 10-year, which is, call it 3.1 or 3.2%, which I believe, just based on current conditions, should be 4.5%. So when those rates move back to normal, which they really should, if we want a legitimate currency and legitimate debt, then that's going to, create competition for equities and probably push the overall markets down another 7 to maybe even 10% from here. But is that enough to get out of the way and get back in? Well, if you're an investor with a 7 to 10 year horizon, it's a speed bump. If you're an investor with cash, I would say, stay tuned, wait for rates to get more closer to normal, and I think then it would be fair to get back in.
Thanks for all the info. Thanks for being with us today. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer with Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. And still to come on Technology Thursday, where self-driving cars could find a special niche in our lives.
Cashing in with conversation.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. It's sponsored by Hearing Help Express. There's a vision of self-driving cars that could change the future of retirement. Joining us to talk about that is CBS auto reporter Jeff Gilbert, based in Detroit. Jeff, welcome back to the program. At first blush, it would sound like, Jeff, that the self-driving car tooling around the retirement facility like the Village is in Florida eliminates that painful conversation that children have with their parents about taking the car keys away.
Yeah, but color me suspicious on this one. This is a startup that wants to put these self-driving vehicles in a number of retirement communities, and a startup developing automated vehicles. I mean, I'm a little suspicious when GM and Honda decide they have to pool their resources, and Google's Waymo is working with Fiat Chrysler and BMW, that this startup is going to do that by themselves. I mean, it's really difficult. There are a lot of moving parts, and boy, first senior citizen that gets injured by one of these, there's going to be a big lawsuit.
Who is, as the self-driving car market lurches forward, you've heard about trucking companies, heard about Amazon, you've heard about a number of companies that may be the first big customer. Is that still the case, or has a new industry or outlet emerged as like the first big customer of the self-driving car?
Yeah, what we're likely to see first is General Motors says next year it wants to launch an automated taxi service in an as-yet unnamed market. Many people think it'll be San Francisco because GM's doing a lot of experimenting there. So that's how we're going to see this at first. Waymo, Google's self-driving car arm, is already doing some limited testing in Arizona, so they're likely to launch a service. So that's where we'll see it. And on what you and I can buy, Mercedes just said by 2020 it wants to launch a limited eyes off the road system that you can hit a button and temporarily go on autopilot, but they need regulatory approval for that. So we're going to see this start launching in baby steps.
And yes, and what is the plan, the full plan, if it works, then how will these cars be used?
That, of course, is the big question, because at this point, nobody still has cracked the code where an automated vehicle can do all of the same things that a human-driven vehicle can do. So there are issues with expense, so that's why a lot of people are looking at doing this in fleets. Also issues with liability and also issues with regulation. So we'll see these limited steps, but nobody can say when we're going to go to full autonomy.
And it's meant for a single economy and community.
Right, exactly. Things of that nature. I mean, the robotic taxis can be done in a situation where they can be monitored, they can be put on roads that can be carefully mapped, and the car companies can be in complete control of these vehicles because they still need to be calibrated and watched.
Thanks a lot. Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter based at WWJ in Detroit, Michigan. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday, and still to come, today's fastest growing high paying jobs.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. is expected to add millions of jobs in coming years. Let's ask Tom Gimmel about that. He is founder and CEO of LaSalle Network here in Chicago. Millions of jobs coming into the economy, Tom, and in what areas should we expect?
Chris, well, we're always the same industries or positions that have been hot tend to consistently be that way, whether it be healthcare, technology, education. But then the other ones that have become so much more in this market would be analytical positions, marketing and financial analytics, operational analytics. As companies need to figure out how to continue to streamline things in a global economy, people who bring that more process-driven engineering, accounting, finance degree background is really positive in this economy on the jobs market.
And are there enough facilities and schools to get people off the ground here?
Yeah. Yeah, there most definitely is. And you're seeing, you know, the problems we have in the education system is really where the skills gap is between lower income people in high metropolitan areas, New York, Chicago, LA, where the school systems aren't as good to get people up to speed. It's a lack of people, not necessarily the lack of resources to train, with so many universities out in the marketplace. And in this day and age with remote learning, online learning, and workers being able to work remotely, that, you know, in certain jobs, it's not as important.
You can talk about the salaries and economic growth potential. Will the jobs of the future have the benefits attached to them that we're used to? I mean, will the jobs of the future have the benefits of the past?
That's the big question right now, is so much of the middle class in this country was built on the union situation of people being able to work a 40-hour work week and getting pensions and insurance and those things. Today, with the talk of the gig economy and people wanting freelance opportunities and temporary jobs, is will the benefits follow and what will happen in that space? Now, what we're seeing is that in this gig economy, it tends to be for second and third jobs, not for the primary job. So people are getting their benefits and insurance on that side of things, and then using the alternate workforce, whether it be Uber or part-time jobs and freelancing in a different sort of revenue stream. So I think we're going to continue to see the market go this way, but be careful. The more technologically advanced society has ever become, the more people long for the days of interpersonal contact. And I think we're always going to see an environment where people want to work in the office and have collaboration with other human beings.
Well, thank you very much, Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of the LaSalle Network in Chicago. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's check in on the markets now, sponsored by Baird. And here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Chris, we are back in the red again today. Not quite the losses of yesterday, but the Dow and S&P are close to another 1% lower move. The Dow down 204 points to 25,394, NASDAQ losing 15, and the S&P down 24 points to 2761. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is now sinking 0.2%. Part of the consumer price report that's baffling auto industry analysts, it says used car and truck prices fell 3% from August to September, but private data shows a third straight month of record prices for used cars. The discrepancy might result from a recent change in methodology for the report. Cox Automotive says it might not have taken SUVs fully into account. Crude oil futures are sinking almost 3% now, down to $71.15 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.